Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There's great terror in being caught in a storm at sea. The deep is about to become your grave. Paul was on a ship taking him to Rome. Faced with sinking, Paul's courageous actions saved the crew and fellow prisoners. Once again, the power of the gospel was evident. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's series is Light Shining in Darkness, How the Gospel Impacts Culture. In Acts 27, the violent sea is about to drown all on the ship, and only the cool head of the apostle prevents the disaster.
And you just imagine it now, all of their cargo is going to go. They are going to save some wheat. Later on, they throw it into the sea as well, as we shall learn. But for now, they're keeping back at least enough for food, even though the 276 people on board did not eat for 14 days, the text tells us. Now, it's not because they didn't have something on the ship that they could eat. But if you know anything about being storm-tossed and seasick, you know that your appetite tends to go away. And that's the kind of experience that these men on this ship were having. And so the sun was dark and the moon wasn't there. The stars were not giving light for 2 full weeks. 14 days, these men were on this ship. Now, in the midst of this, Paul has a good word. You'll notice it says in verse 21, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me." Is there a parent who is listening today who has not said this to his child? "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" So the Apostle Paul receives a vision, the last vision that he receives as recorded in the book of Acts. There are 6 of them, and this is the last. An angel of the Lord comes, and the Apostle Paul has this special revelation that lets him know that God is going to take care of him because he's got to get to Rome. It's very important that he get there according to the will of God. So everything now is jettisoned. You'll notice that the cargo has gone into the sea, and all that the sailors and those aboard care about now is their own life. That's what's important to them. You know, we have friends like that. Rebecca and I have someone who's not at all connected with Moody Church, and he's about to lose everything. His home is over-leveraged. It almost is certain that he's going to be losing his house, his car. He's without a job. Everything is going to go. And in this experience that they are having as well, everything is going to be gone, except their own lives. God is going to spare their life. And maybe there's somebody who's listening to me today and you're that person. It seems as if everything around you is being taken from you. Maybe you'll be able to go on, but you don't know where you're going to live or what you're going to do because everything is lost. That's the experience of these 276 people on board. But now I have to ask you a question. Where is God in the midst of this? You can't look to the sun for perspective. You can't look to the stars for guidance. Does the storm hide God's face? And the answer is, of course, no, it doesn't. As God was there in this experience, God knew the longitude and the latitude of that little boat. Long before the GPS was invented, God knew exactly where that little boat was or that ship. God knew exactly the depth of the water, the speed of the wind, and the height of the waves. All that was known to God. His knowledge is so complete that he even knew exactly how much every one of those boards on that ship could handle. All that was known to God, and he could see them even when they couldn't see him. And you know, there are times when there are storms in our life when we can't see God. We just can't see him. 3 years ago, I told you about the death of my close friend, Mark Waltz, with whom I played tennis for 20 years, and how he told me that he walked into the room as he was struggling with cancer in all of his pain in the middle of the night, didn't want to awaken his wife, and just sat there. And he said it was as if all the faith just drained from his soul. What about all the verses of Scripture? What about all the promises of God? Listen, there are times when you can't see God, but when push comes to shove, as it often does in life, I need to emphasize that it is more important that God can see us than that we can see God. And God is there. Even at times that we cannot see him. You see, that's why we sing, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest upon his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. God is with you today, even when you can't see him. Storms are encountered in the will of God. That's the first lesson. Why was the Apostle Paul in the predicament he was in? He was simply doing God's will. God says, go to Rome. He's on his way to Rome, and this is what he gets. But he's in the middle of a storm, but storms cannot hide the face of God. And there's a third lesson, and that is that storms cannot hinder the purpose of God. God had a purpose. There was a reason why that boat had to go to Rome, a very important reason. And you'll notice that God, in the purpose, comes and speaks to the Apostle Paul by means of an angel. And you know, in verse 24, the angel says, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. I love that little word, must. About 10 years ago, I preached an entire message just on some of the musts of the Bible. God says, you have to go there because that's my purpose for you. So there was no chance in the world that the Apostle Paul was going to drown. God had a plan for him. And the storm was not going to thwart that plan. It's interesting to see how the other sailors reacted to all that was happening. You'll notice it says in verse 30, and as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You see, what the sailors were going to do is to escape secretly. When you are not a person of faith, what you are looking for is an escape hatch. What's the first thing that I can possibly do to get out of this predicament and save myself, and I don't care what happens to my family, I don't care what happens to my church, because I'm number one? That's what was happening here with these sailors. Look at the response of the soldiers. And here we are going to read how the whole story ended. I'm picking it up in verse 41. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. They wanted to save their own necks too, and of course, if you let a prisoner escape, your own life was in jeopardy. But what the soldiers were planning to do again is, let me save myself, even if I have to kill you. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to make for the land, and the rest on planks or pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. That's after all of the wheat was thrown into the sea. You'll notice it says in verse 38, that's what took place. The Apostle Paul gathered them together after 14 days. We didn't read it there, but it's in verse 33. He says, it's the 14th day since you haven't eaten. Let's eat together. And then after they eat, everything else goes into the sea. And the ship arrives, of course, totally broken up nothing is saved except their lives. But you see, the purpose of God was not thereby hindered. Because of that little word, must, you must go to Rome to stand before Caesar. Now, what was on that ship? Why was it so important that Paul make it? Well, the book of Ephesians was on that ship. If Paul had drowned, we wouldn't have that book in the New Testament. The book of Philippians was on that ship. How could we live without the book of Philippians and Ephesians? The book of Colossians was on that ship, because it is generally believed that the Apostle Paul wrote those books after he got to Rome. The book of Luke was on that ship. Luke hadn't yet written his own book. He hadn't written the book of Acts. Can you imagine if Luke and Paul had drowned at that point and they never had an opportunity to do the writings that are part of Scripture today? Think of how impoverished we would be. So God says you must go to Rome, and the storm will not hinder you. You're going to make it because it is my will and my purpose. Yes, we encounter storms when we're doing the will of God. I need to emphasize that some of you who are going through a storm today, you are in the middle of God's will. The storm does not mean that you're out of God's will. And the storms do not hide the face of God. He is there. He is watching. He is caring. And certainly the storms do not hinder the purpose of God. What God proposes to do, He will accomplish despite the storms that you and I encounter. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, if I'd have had a vision like the Apostle Paul, you know, if an angel were to come to me at night and tell me how the end is going to happen, then I could have confidence. Well, you know, I've never had a vision like that. You probably have never had a vision like that. But do we really need one? Well, my friend, you're going to have to listen to the rest of that message, and I encourage you to turn to Running to Win again next time, as I have the opportunity of completing my thought and helping us to understand whether we have a vision or not. We can believe God's holy word. We're talking about the Apostle Paul and the storm that he endured, and the fact that God took him safely to Rome. Could I remind you that God knows the longitude and the latitude of your little boat today? He knows the height of the waves, the speed of the wind. He knows how strong every board is on your boat, speaking metaphorically. He knows everything. And even, yes, when we cannot see God, God sees us. And He knows exactly what you are going through. Would you invite Him to be with you? We know that He already is, if you're a believer. But it is important that we receive His presence by faith and believe His word, that He will take us safely all the way to the other side. And He will, if we trust Him. The Apostle Paul was in God's hands, and you and I are in God's hands as well, even though our boat is wind-beaten.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Light Shines in Rome, the final message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, our series concludes as Paul makes it to Rome. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.